Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Kuti Jana Madhava Jiva Radha Yashoda Nandana Vajra Nandana Yamuna Tira Vandachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hare श्री राधा माधव आस्था की जाय स्वपार की जाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् दिव्यं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओह इंटरेस्टिंग नो 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 या डिफरेंट आइडिया दैट्स वन वर्स या Don't worry, you belong to different planets. Okay. Yeah, we'll work on it. Yeah. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Texts number 8 through 14. This is the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. It says here, Om Namo, no, back up, sorry, 7 through 14. Okay. Hari Varshe Chapi Bhagavan Narahari Rupa Sate Tadrupam Grahana Nimitta Uttara Trabidasye Tadaitam Rupam Mahapurusha Guna Bhajano Mahabhagavato Daitya Danavokula Tirti Karana Srila Charita Prahlado Vyavadananya Bhakti Yogena Saha Tadvarsha Purushaya Upasate Idham Chodaharati. Okay? So, 5.18.7. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, Lord Nrisimhadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. So Jamadweep is divided into different varshas, like that, you know? There's a whole, what's it called, cosmology, geography of the universe in Canto 5. It actually appears in the Bhagavad Gita and more details of how the universe is divided. And Sariputta, of course, goes through a big detailed explanation of this in terms of Western analysis. Because like some of the words, Prabhupada says, even these words, I'm not going to try and translate all these things and, as for you people who have, engineering mentality, you can do that. I'm just satisfied that Krishna is the creator of the universe. Okay, get some details about like that. I know my Bahari Varsha. The Varshas are part of Jambadweep. And I think Jambadweep is one of the nine islands which Prabhupada identifies with Africa, South America, North America, Europe, like that, and so on. Yeah. So I think generally, Jambadweep is like India. There are different varshas there. Of course, this is also 5,000 years ago. This is the end of the Dwapara Yuga, when everything was much finer, bigger, Methuselah was running around. He lived like 100 years old, says in the Bible, 1,000 years old. And also the same paragraph describes a bunch of other people who are living 1,200, 1,100. It's the same as the Bhagavatam. Right? Okay, I know it's a joke. Merlin magician. So many histories of like, yeah, there was, you know, previous age, and things were bigger, you know, finer, longer. You know. Just like if you go from fall to winter, in fall you still have some trees with leaves, and maybe some last fruits and some squirrels and some birds, but you have like a few more weeks and another month and forget it. There's no flowers, no fruits, no leaves, no squirrels, no birds. And the snow comes and forget it. Everything is gone. The land is gone. The sky is gone. The sun is gone. It's just like that. You know? So we're in the Kali Yuga. It's like that. But a Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. And then all these magical things that Krishna was doing weren't so extraordinary because other people also did magic. You know? And so it was like, hard to distinguish. Is Krishna a demigod? Or is he a yogi? Or maybe he's God. Who is God? That's the whole discussion. Yeah. So these varshas called Jambudweep. In Ilavita Varsha, Hanuman's worshipping Ram. In another varsha, Lakshmi's worshipping Kamadev. So in this one, Prahlad is worshipping Shringadev. Okay. And my Sukadeva Swami continued, "My dear king, Lord Nrsimhadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Lord Nrsimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family." It's good for us, having taken birth in demoniac families. "Lord Nrsimhadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worship Lord Nrsimhadev by chanting the following mantra." Here it goes. And the mantra refers to the whole thing, not just the one verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namas Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava. Namas Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava. Vajra Naka. Vajra means thunderbolts. Naka means nails. Vajra Naka. Vajra Dangstra. Karmasayan. Randaya. Tamo. Grasa. Om. Swaha. Abhayam. Atmani. Bhuyistha. Om. Crown. Yeah. That's the Bija mantra for Lord Nrsimhadev. If you chant it properly, you'll probably get the yantra, which is like that. Chom. "I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, the source of all power, Tejase Avir Bhava. O Lord, who possesses teeth and nails just like thunderbolts, Vajranaka Vajradamstra, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activities within this material world. Karma Sayan Randaya. Tama Grasa. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance. Tamo Grasa. So that by your mercy, you may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Abhayam, Atmani Bhuyista." What does Bhuyista mean? You may appear. Atmani, you may appear in our hearts. Abhayam, Atmani Bhuyista. Om Kram. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39, Sanatana Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu, yadpada panka palasa vilasa bhaktya. Devotee is always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet, can very easily become free from the hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, and although they try to do so. Therefore, you, Prithu Maharaj, are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. End quote. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept another body, one body after another. And thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without becoming completely desireless. Yeah. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī describes pure devotional service as follows. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without becoming completely desireless. Therefore, Rūpa Gosvāmī describes pure bhakti devotional service as anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadina avritam anukulyana krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. So this is the, some people call it the Paribhasya Sutra of the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami. And it's divided in four parts, no? There's the eastern part, southern part, western part, northern part, okay? And each of those has waves. That first wave, second wave. So this verse number is 1111. Can you remember that? Yeah, okay. 1111. Yeah. So it's the eastern part, first wave, and 11th verse. Like that. And before that is verses, you know, glorifying his guru, Krishna, like that. Then it's this verse, which is the summary of the whole thing. And one devotee, one of Prabhupada's, you know, one of our gobblers, or god nephews. Anyway, one Gaudiya Math, Swami, was criticizing ISKCON. They don't even know the definition of bhakti, like that. This is it. This is the Gaudiya Math definition of what is bhakti. And if you go through this, every single suffix has like a specific place. It's like you took maybe out a long time to make everything exact, you know. Anya abhilas, mora e abhilas, vilas kunje diobas. My desire, abhilas, is to have a place in the groves of Vrindavan, a little house there. Mora e abhilas. So this says anya abhilas. Anya means any. Anya abhilas hita shunyam. What does shunya mean? Shunyavadi, nirvishesha, shunyavadi. Oh, okay, Hindi. Yeah. Zero, huh? Yeah, void. So the Buddhists, some Buddhists are shunyavadis, voidists, nihilists, everything is zero. And the Shankaracharya's idea is nirvisheshavad. There is a reality, but it has no form. Reality is a circle with its center everywhere and no circumference. Our soul. Yeah, he says, that's almost the same as shunyavad. So it's like, there is a reality, but it has no form. Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's a lot better than Buddha. Buddha said there's no reality. That's Buddha. And everybody agrees, as far as I've heard. Vidyananda Maharaj said, got his PhD in philosophy from Oxford, Harvard, and other Buddhists also, that nobody has Buddha's original teachings. Whatever anybody has is adapted in different ways like that and coming down. And generally speaking, our point is that Buddha, practically speaking, the second sermon Buddha gave is called the non-existence of the soul sermon. Like that. But if you look at it, it's on the internet. You just look for Buddha's sermons on the internet, it'll come up. And not one place in the entire thing that does he say the soul doesn't exist. He says, you know, that this world doesn't exist. You know, exist means forever, going to come and go, right? My parents are going to come and go. Somebody's parents already have gone, right? My kid. Right? And families are going to come and go. The nation's going to come and go. At some point, there'll be no United States of America. It'll all fall apart like Russia. There's no more Soviet Union. You know? So Buddha's talking like this, and he says the body doesn't exist. The mind doesn't exist. You know? Yeah. And that's about it. You know, he doesn't talk about anything much beyond that. I was discussing this, debating in a friendly fashion. Miguel Polo, who's the head of philosophy at San Marcos University, he had a nice program down there. And he's a Buddhist, you know, like that. An intellectual guy, but he likes Buddhism. So we went all around about this, and in the end he said, okay, because he knows all these modern Buddhist groups and stuff. He goes to conventions in Italy and stuff. And he says, I'll admit that when 80% of the Buddhists say there is no Atma, they're not referring to the soul. They're referring to the mind. Like that. So very few of them actually say there's no soul. Like that. And so abhilas. Anya abhilasita shunyam. Anya abhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi. Karmati jnana, speculative knowledge, fruitive activities, yoga, gama, karma, adi, anavritam. Vritta means to cover. You know Vritta-sura? Bhagatam? A big demon, because he covered the universe like that. Vritta. You know? Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma, adi, anavritam. So, pure devotional service means that it shouldn't be covered. You know, we shouldn't have any desire that covers. We shouldn't have any desire for karma, jnana, and yoga that covers, you know, our devotional service like that. But what we're doing right now is jnana, right? This is jnana, understanding words or meanings, analysis like that. So then his definition is a little bit too narrow. So therefore, that doesn't say anya abhilas. He says anya abhilasi ta. So ta changes it from desire to motive, right? Our motive shouldn't be jnana. Our motive should be bhakti, right? Yeah, but we're developing jnana, we're developing karma, we'll go out and do fruity, you know, sankirtan devotees, book distributors. I don't care if I distribute any books today or not. It's okay. I just go out and meet the people and that kind of stuff. Okay. Maybe some people do that, but a lot of people, they go out and they want, you know, want to get some results, you know, like that. It's okay. But if that's your motive, then this becomes a problem. Like that. If your motive is to please Krishna, okay, then you can have a desire to do a lot of books. Okay? Okay. So this verse is really important. You know, we should all learn it, contemplate it, and appreciate it. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmani navritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. This is uttama bhakti. Right? Uttama bhakti is activity. Shilanam, Anu, empowered by the parampara for Krishna. Right? If you're chanting your rounds and following the four principles, it means you're empowered by the parampara. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. You just like fall apart like that. So we got mercy from the parampara. We should be thankful and not be proud and arrogant about what we're doing. And then, yeah, well, we should do it, anukulyena, with a conscious intention to please Krishna. Like that. So most of the time we're chanting around, so we're probably not doing that, not thinking, you know, consciously trying to please Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We're thinking about something else. If I don't finish my rounds, I'll go to hell. You know, something will happen. You know, so I don't want to go to hell. It feels good. Hare Krishna. So we're doing it, you know, but we have to have anukulyena, a positive desire to please Krishna while we're doing it. That means you have to be seeing Krishna. If Krishna's smiling or Krishna's happy, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Absorbed, right, in meditation, and then motivation. Here's a question here. Who helped Krishna's mission of incarnation was to kill all these Kshatriyas, extra guys. So who helped him the most? What's your name? What? Sean. Okay. Moramandira Pujari, he got it. Who helped Krishna the most in his mission of incarnation? Yeah. No. When he came, there's 5,000. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Balaram? How about Duryodhana?
Duryodhana got them all in one place at one time and had them kill each other, most of them, and Arjuna was able to identify and kill so many. So really, Duryodhana did the most to arrange to help Krishna do his job. So he was anushilanam. He was empowered to do all this, but it wasn't anukulyena. Prabhupada says it was pratikulyena. It was with the desire to irritate Krishna. But that didn't matter. Krishna used it. Yeah. So you got everybody one place, one time, and it was very easy to annihilate 640 million people in 18 days. Thank you, Duryodhana. Very nice. So this is the point. It has to be with a conscious intention to please Krishna. Even Kamsa, obviously he was always thinking about Krishna, but it wasn't with a desire to please Krishna, or with a desire to kill Krishna. Yeah? So it's a very fine shloka with that. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul has to go from one body to another. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without becoming desireless. Therefore, Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service as Anyavilasita Shunyam. Quote, one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. End quote. That is called pure devotional service. End quote. Unless one is completely free from all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in devotional service. So before it says, karma sayan randaya randaya, drive away all these desires for karma, tama grasso, and also drive out this ignorance. So Prabhupada's just paraphrasing, no? Paraphrasing the text. Unless one is completely free from all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who killed Hiranyakasipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kasipu means a soft bed or cushion. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakasipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbances to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. So our mind, the same way, our desires, so many desires coming. I want this, I want that, I want a house, I want a better house, I want two houses, one house here, one house there. I want a car. I want a sports car. I want a pickup truck. I want, you know, this clothes, that clothes. Oh, I want this. I want, you know. It keeps expanding. And even though we don't want these things, the desires keep coming, you know, and distracting our mind and agitating our body. And you know, so Prahlad's being irritated by his father with all these agitations like that, trying to burn him in oil, trying to boil him in oil, drop him off of cliffs, chop him in little pieces, having crushed under elephants, poison him, and what else? Having bitten by snakes, in fact. Yeah. And the worst thing of all, he's sending him to school. Yeah. No, you said it almost. It didn't work, you know. But it was, probably says here, it was an agitation, a great disturbance. Sulana Shingadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer respectful prayers to Nrisimhadev, as Prahlad did in this verse. God. So, any questions? Comments? Anxiety? Complaint? Or any complaints? It's okay? Yeah? Yeah. So, at the beginning, Prahlad's prayers are, you know, for Nrisimhadev to protect us from this or that problem, but to protect us from the big problem, which is our own desires. He tells his father that there's no enemy in this world except for. His father says, why are you taking the side of our enemy, Vishnu? And he says, as far as I can see, the only enemy in this world is? An uncontrolled mind. Is that specifically? An uncontrolled mind. Yeah? So as soon as we control our mind, then we see there are no enemies. Yeah? Isopanishad even starts off with this, no? That if we see all living entities as parts and parcels of Krishna, then there's no fear. He says, like, only a lunatic is afraid of his hand, right, you know. His hand's going to come in when he's not getting it. These guys are off, guys are nuts. Yeah, but that's the thing. Everybody is part and parcel of Krishna, our dearmost friend. Yeah? So then we have no fear or no, what's the word, greed, like that, in terms of them. No envy. We don't want anything they have, because why should we want? We have everything we need. Every individual is uniquely created to serve Krishna. It doesn't matter what the GBC says or anybody else. They can't take your service away. This is your constitutionally existing to do a certain kind of service to Krishna. It can be, what's the word, Krishna can receive it indirectly, you know, through the material energy, but even still, Krishna is going to receive your service. Okay? He would prefer to get it directly. Okay? Yeah? And so, you know, we have no reason to be envious of anybody then. You know? So they have their service, I have mine. And mine is so much that I can't possibly, you know, do it all like that. I'm discovering more and more how to improve my service every day, eternally. And Krishna is discovering more and more how to relish it, enjoy it. Wow, I didn't know you could do that. You know, okay. Krishna doesn't know. We're part of him. So we come up with all kinds of strange things that Krishna didn't think about. Wow. Yeah, wow. But then he enjoys it. Wow, that's nice. Yeah. That'll go here. Yeah. And of course, when it's amplified by Radharani, then everything fits together in just the right way like that. Oh. And we bring something very small, but she puts it just the right place, you know, for the birthday party. Christmas party. Every day is a party for Krishna. They have different excuses. Jayananda told us, the Prabhupada said, if you can do it, I can give you a reason to have a festival every day. And the Vaishnava culture is so rich. The next Purnima, for example, is the Vishvarupa Mahotsava. It's the anniversary, next full moon, is the anniversary of Prabhupada's sannyas. And also it's the birthday party for Nectar of Instruction. It's like 37 years old or something. So you have a whole, you know, Nectar of Instruction, have like a whole birthday cake for it, offer arti, you know, you could read the whole thing like that. So many things you could do. Wow. And it becomes intense. You know? So this is, you know, our position. We get free from these material desires and drive them away with your fierce teeth. One devotee was in Mayapur for Prabhupada's disappearance festival, Pure Baba festival last year. It was very nice. Wow, it was very enlivening. You know. Bhavananda was there. Many people. You know. So one devotee, Srirag, he's a big kind of Kshatriya guy now. He studied Kung Fu and everything else. We were in the Dallas temple. And have you been there? Temple in Dallas. A little courtyard between the temple and the ashram. So I was like, you know, he was going to go take rest, and he was walking into the temple, and like late, you know, so what's going on? He had like, you know, a shotgun, 57 Magnum, you know, well, a knife, there's all these weapons. It's like, now where are you going? There's Kung Fu suit on. He said, somebody's been, you know, getting into the kitchen, the restaurant at night, and stealing boga, you know, and so I'm going to catch him tonight, like that, you know, okay, you know. So then next morning I got up and I was walking into the temple and he was coming out like that, you know. I said, oh, would you catch the guy? And he said, well, you know, I was there and just about like, you know, 10 minutes ago. I was up all night, nothing happened. I was sitting in the hallway in this bench and next to the door to the kitchen, kind of watching. And then he said, then I heard this noise in the kitchen. And he said, oh, the guy's in there like that, you know. So I was waiting for the guy to come out to jump him. And he came out and I realized I was outgunned like that. I realized I was outgunned. He had a shotgun, 457 Magnum, his knife. I said, wow, what was it? What did I have? He said, it was a skunk. Because, you know, if you shoot him or he shoots you, it's, oh, okay. Yeah? They have these black and white stripes and they shoot this really horrible smell. You know? Yeah. So if he shoots you or you shoot him, it's all the same for you because he's going to blast all over the place, his dead body, you know. So he said he just froze like that, you know, and this guy, you know, went under the bench, didn't notice him, and kept on going like that. And then he got up and ran out. That's why I saw him like that. And they found a hole where he's coming in, so they just put some, like, you know, wire over like that. You know. So he's a really organized guy. But at the Tirubhava Festival, He was saying, like, when he first came to ISKCON, his mind, he got a basket case. His mind was completely, like, you know, crazy, in life, everything. So Prabhupada was staying in one place where there was, like, a little house, and two houses kind of next door or something, two cottages or something. And so he was, like, there just, you know, helping, visiting the devotees in the daytime. And then when Mataji's cooking for Prabhupada, and she said, Prabhu, you know, there's nobody here to take Prabhupada's lunch, you know, and lady, I don't want to take him by myself alone, so could you take Prabhupada's lunch? It's ready. Oh. So he had this tray of like 8-10 preparations or something. He went to the door and kind of knocked on the door. And Prabhupada said, yes, come in. You know, so he said, he opened the door like that. And he said, everything in the room was moving like that. It was like shifting like that, you know. And the only thing which wasn't moving was Prabhupada. It was kind of like, that was his perception of everything. It was just like, you know, and he had these plates with like, you know, stuff to carry like that, you know. And he said, the second Prabhupada like looked at him, he could understand exactly, you know, what his mentality was, everything else like that. And he was really trying his best to get the plate on the table without knocking everything on the floor, you know. So he said it was like landing an airplane or something. He was like walking towards Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was like, you know, like this, and, you know, like that, and like this, and, you know, he was just helping him, you know. So finally he got the plate on the table, and both he and Prabhupada went, like that, you know. Then Prabhupada motioned to sit down like that, so he sat there, you know. And Prabhupada was taking prasadam and talking with him and asking questions and like that, you know, who was he in his life and stuff like that. And so it was very, very casual, but it was very, wasn't like, you know, analysis, what do you do, what's, you know, it was like a very casual thing, and he really could talk about, you know, who he was and things like that and so on. And he felt like, you know, he just felt like somebody finally who knew who he was and everything else. So the next day he was in the kitchen, washing some pots, and his mind was just crazy. It was just criticizing everybody, everything. It was angry at everybody, and just rah, 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 you know, and he didn't want it to be that way, but it was just, that was just psychology, you know. So he heard Prabhupada's voice saying, shut up, stop this, his mind like that. It was like a dog when he's a bigger dog, his tail goes down like that. His mind went like that. And he said, it never happened ever again. Yeah, you know, it was amazing. Many amazing experiences. People talking about it in Prabhupada like that. You know? But that's it. You know, Lord Nrisimhadeva with his, you know, his thunderbolt teeth and his thunderbolt nails appear, you know, and drive away all these desires. You know, because in the beginning you fight them, right? But after fighting them for 3 days, you know, you start to become tired, exhausted. And you think, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, and this and that, and this and that. And in your mind, okay. Fill up some way to compensate, you know, for the desire like that. You know? So Prahlad's prayer is very nice. You know? Pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to drive away these materialistic desires and to drive away the ignorance upon which they're based, that we don't see, that we're all part and parcel of Krishna. Like that. So, okay? That's the first prayer. Like that. Actually, there's three of these are very famous. You recognize this is the first one's famous. Then Yashyasti Bhakti or Bhagavati or Kenchana, we did yesterday. That's 18:12. That appears many times. That if you have pure devotion, automatically all good qualities will develop. But if you're not a devotee, even though you appear to have good qualities, they're all just superficial things which are coming and going, you know, like clouds in the sky, you know, because of the material nature. And the other one is Swasti Astu Vishvasha. That's the second one, yeah. And every volume, Prabhupada chooses one verse, put in front of the book, like that. There it is. Okay. In the new Bhagavatams, which are all bigger volumes, they lost some of these verses. And so this is the one here, is the one where tomorrow's verse, like that. Swasti Astu Vishvasha Kala Prasidatam. I got to memorize these for my Bhakti Bhai Baba test. 70 verses. Wow. When you're past 60 years old, it's a challenge. you got to know them by heart. Because your short-term memory is, you know, gone. Yeah, which is good. Svasti astu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mito dhya manas cha bhadram bhajitad Aroksaje, Aveshyatam no Matir Apu Ahoy Tuki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. And may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Let us all engage, therefore, in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So first he thinks about himself becoming free from his own evil, selfish desires. Once that's free, then he's thinking about everybody else, that everybody should be peaceful and happy and think of everybody else. And the basis of that is devotional service. Without that, it's just not possible, really. All the good qualities are really for your own purpose. You know? Even the religious qualities are for your purpose. Okay? Yeah. So maybe we can make copies of this for tomorrow, and we can chant the... I was into the whole thing at one time. Yeah, the whole stotra. Eight prayers. But we can just do it one at a time. Yeah? Yeah. And we can all chant it, read it together. And that's what you can keep them, little booklets. They're nice because you do these things. They're very nice for seminars like this. You can do 3-4 days, and people come. Right? One verse, okay, but in 3 days like that, 4 days, and it's like the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada said, even in 100 years, you cannot read all these books thoroughly. So you get an overview, okay, and pick out things that you think are useful for you, like that. So these prayers, for me, very nice. And you see, probably quotes them actually many times. And you read the whole thing, you see there's a whole, idea about how to look at devotional service. And it's good for different kinds of people at different times. We did a seminar one time on the instructions of Rupa Goswami. It's chapter 19 of Majjhalila, Rupa Shiksha. Many Vaishnavas study it. And it was nice. It was like five nights in Lima. We printed the book separately. And by the time everybody was familiar with the whole thing, the content, the ideas, and it's everything's there. It's just like a whole Bhagavad Gita, but it's like everything's there, but it goes all the way to the highest levels of bhava and all this kind of stuff. And since then, I've seen Prabhupada quoting it many times. In the four nutshell verses, the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada paraphrases it there. So many things. You can go on studying Prabhupada's books. It's just that he took certain things, emphasized those. And Srimad Bhagavatam, what's his name? Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says in Chaitanya Bhagava, my only desire is to study Srimad Bhagavatam life after life with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. That's my only desire. Srimad Bhagavatam. Any final comments? Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand that because sometimes I feel like this sucking out of my time getting
drenched. Yeah,
yeah. How do I see that as a result of envious?
No, there's also, what is it? It's also one of the seven secondary rasas. Wonder and fear is also one of those too. Somebody Yashoda is also very fearful that Krishna will be eaten by jackals like that. And jackals will eat Krishna. So many things. Krishna said a rascal. It's racist. She doesn't get a moment's peace of mind. Mother Yashoda is trying to do something and the milk's boiling over and she looks out. Everybody's screaming and laughing and there go Krishna and Balaram down the the road in Vrindavan holding onto calves like that. Ah! Like that, Their tails like that, so she's running after them like that. So she's a problem, So that she also has fear. Yeah. So, but materialistic fear. So maybe your fear is fear of losing your service. Fear of not being able to engage in intense devotional service. That's not material. Material fear is because of envy, because you want what somebody else wants. Actually, as far as I understand, the word covetous means you want somebody else's property. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's so-and-so. But envy comes from the word envidi. Vidi means life, and envy means to destroy. So envy means you want them dead, like that. But you don't just want their property, you want them dead. Like if you're so envious of them, because they don't, I wish they would die, he's famous, people like him, or he's successful. And this math, he was able to pass this examination. I wasn't able to pass this. And, you know, I want his accomplishment. Okay, but no, I just want him dead. Yeah. But then you can see that that desire is, when it's material, you know, it's, you know, maybe the gopis, Radharani's, Sakis are envious of, you know, Chandravali's Sakis. They want them dead, you know. But it's like, it's a spiritual thing. So not afraid like that. Ooh, where's that? But it makes everybody, but they don't want them dead because then they couldn't want them dead, you know, right? So they don't want them to die, actually, because then they couldn't want them to die like that. It's just a spiritual world. There's no dichotomy. So, but here we actually, we feel, people feel very guilty then, or fearful, because, you know, I want this guy to die, you know, for this selfish reason. So that means actually maybe I'll die too, you know, so on. So then there's fear developing because of this desire to kill somebody. Like that, right? Maybe he'll find out. You know, so you smile. You know? Oh, how nice. You were successful. We're all so happy you passed the examination and got the job. You know, like that. Yeah? Yeah. So we hide it out of fear. Like that. Yeah? Because envy, you know, you want somebody else's possessions, and then, like, he won't like that. Right? You're envious of somebody's, you know, accomplishment. Yeah? Exactly. It's subtle, because for devotees it's difficult, because we have all our desires become so purified. It's really hard to understand, like, in some ways, how somebody can be, you know, somebody who's in ignorance, and he's envious, right? You know, for material causes. Okay? Yeah, what else? No, same thing. Yeah, but then actually, even more than that, we're not just accepting it, but we're enthusiastic about it. Ah, yeah. You know, I was just run over by an automobile. Oh, how nice! Great opportunity Krishna's given me. Yeah. No, because we see, yeah, it's for devotee. And devotee is, he's dancing in step with Krishna. You get up, chant your rounds, you do all this work, and so you get yourself in tune with Krishna. And you keep yourself in tune during the daytime. Something happens and Super Soul says, hey, watch out. And you, so then whatever happens to devotee, so we should be a little patient, you know. But basically, yeah, we're saying, yeah, it's all Krishna's arrangement. Let me just be enthusiastic about these things like that, you know. Please say, hey, you can't just read the books here, like that, you know, and stuff like that. I say, oh, okay, thank you. I say, you know, where should I distribute them? He says, well, I'll tell you, it's a place you can say, down there. I say, thank you, you know. He knows, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Otherwise, it's just accepting things. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, it's patience, you know, like that. But more enthusiasm means to realize, yeah, with Sahan, everything's coming from Krishna. Okay? Okay. Die. So, Mahashivaji, oh, yep. Prabhupada says, yeah. You know, but we do it also in terms of the two prayers after every arati, namaste, narasimhaya, which I just found out even maybe this last year or something. Every time Lord Chaitanya would go into the Jagannath Puri temple, there's a deity on the left side of the Srinagadeva before you go in, and it says there, and he would offer his obeisances, and he would chant those two prayers like that. So again, everything you discover more and more, everything Prabhupada does is not just like parampara, but it's intensely parampara. Like, not like he's selecting some prayers for us. What happens, somebody threw like a cherry bomb or something at the temple, you know, in Los Angeles. The public said, what is that? You know, some explosive. And I said, oh, okay. And then he started these two prayers. After every artik, you should chant these two prayers. And one is for protection of the spiritual master, and one is for protection of the movement. I don't know which is which. But Lord Chaitanya would chant those two prayers every time, Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita, before he would go into the temple like that. So we're doing it every day. Yeah. But beyond that, Prabhupada says, nectar of devotion, everybody should select certain prayers for his recitation. So Prabhupada would like the prayers by Queen Kunti. He lectured on them three times, like that, different places.
The prayers of Bhishma Dev right after that, he didn't...
I think he never gave any lectures on those. Rishabhdev, he quotes a lot of times. And Prahlad Maharaj, he quotes. So you can actually, as you start doing this, you begin to appreciate the mind of the Acharya, his perspective. Bhaktivinoda Thakur established deities of Gaura Gadadhar. Prabhupada established deities of Gaura Thai. So, some difference. So, I like these. That's why I'm memorizing them for Bhakti Shas, Bhakti Bhai Bhava, because I already know half of them. It's easier to memorize them. And also, they're very nice. It's a nice thing to have these little from my sannyas nature, so a lot of my preaching is giving classes and stuff like that. So it's nice to have these little things right there, and again you can photocopy them and stuff. People are very satisfied with that. Okay, so Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sankirtan ki. Back home. Back. San Jose?